From youth age, it's my passion of the game, and I want to play in that time when I was a kid and I grew up. I do love to coach, and I think I like to promote the sport. And I always have a good vision to see how can we grow better players, how can we have top level players.
Unleash your serve's power. Join our academy and dominate the court. Spots filling up fast. Enroll now.
Welcome to the Silicon Valley Tennis Show. I will be right back. Welcome to Silicon Valley Tennis Podcast. The host today, it will be Francisco Ruiz. And we will just have different discussions, journey of a junior player, a college player today. Join me, Martin Ramirez, whose tennis journey is from the court from Mexico, practiced at Silicon Valley when he was a junior, and he is continuing in practice right now in college and looking forward to go play some ITF and Challenger tournaments. Welcome, Martin. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, you know, to me, I think this is a wonderful experience to do it with you because I know you're still very young, but I want to make sure audience notice what this feels to have pressure. And you play from the junior player, being on the top players in Mexico, and now I heard what you mentioned, it, you're doing very well in college. What's happening in the transition between junior player to college and looking forward for professional? What is in your mindset? Tell me.
Well, I think that there's a lot in the process. You have to think about every aspect. Like, if you want to become great, you need to have a lot of sacrifices, I think. And like you, if you want it, you have to go get it. And that's why every summer we used to go with you, because we felt like that's where my potential will go further. And I feel that if I wanted it, I was going to try as hard as possible, like always. And I think that changing from juniors to college was not an easy task, especially I think I had the COVID year, so tournaments were canceled here and there, so I had to look for ways to get to where I am today. So it's a lot of sacrifices, I believe.
You know, I just came back from Barcelona, and I was just talking to Javier about you. You know, Javi Puyo was talking. We were talking about you, and he said, Francisco, I think he has all the potential, and he has all whatever is needed. Looking the professional players, I was looking at and observing the training, looking for the conditioning, and talking to different great coaches. You know, one of them, Carlos. And of course, Carlos is waiting for you in Spain to continue the training. They were looking forward, looking for the tournaments, and we'll see you being in that professional level in the next 2-3 years. We're talking long term, 2-3 years.
Yeah, long term.
And we were talking about how to develop better players. you an example. I do remember you were a little short guy, that you became very tall. Now you're very strong, and you know many of the players in Silicon Valley. Many of the players that were like you, you know, you used to practice with a very good group in the academy, very good group. You had a Eugene Monetsky, you had a Spencer, Natalie. You had a great people on top of you. This competitive level was Sebastian. It was the biggest guy competitive in your age group. What did you do from juniors? What was your training? And that would be great for parents. How often did you play tournaments? People don't understand, you are an American. Regardless, you are playing in Mexico because your family is from Mexico. What did you do in that time? How often did you train? What was your tournament experience? And what is the expectations of you? Know your parents.
Yeah. When I started juniors, I was not practicing a lot. I was practicing like around 2 hours per day, but only through Monday through Friday. And I started going to tournaments because I really liked it. But I started to see that I was doing good, not as much as I wanted. So I started realizing, okay, I need to put in the work. And that's when I started practicing and doing conditioning, not only tennis, because it's not only tennis. It's everything comes together. Like strength and conditioning is a big part. And I think I started doing 1 hour every day, plus the 2 hours of tennis, and a lot of match play. Match play is very crucial because I think that practice is one thing, but when you're in a match, it's very different. You have to get in that mindset that you are playing a match. So, and when we started going to Silicon Valley in the summer, I think I was 10 years old. And I remember that was my first taste of crazy practice, tough practice. Because I remember, I think one of the times we get there late, like 5 minutes. And you're like, okay, it's 5 minutes late. You're doing five laps around the three courts. And I was like, oh, okay. That's how we started. And that's when I started thinking okay, this is what I want. I want to practice as hard as possible so I can be my best on the court. And after that, I think I started doing much better in juniors in Mexico. I even entered the top 20 for my age group. And I took what I got from during the summer to Mexico, to all of my practices there. I was talking with my coach about it and with my parents to do more conditioning to help me do that type of practice. And I think that it is tough, but if you really want it, you will go get it.
you're always a hard worker, Martin. You have an amazing lefty. People need to know that you are lefty. And I think, like I was telling you not too long ago, I love to see the improvement more in that rotation of your body and making sure your body gets through with the extension of your arm and the serve. And I remember when you came like a juniors, you came swinging very strange, hitting something like this. And I was thinking, what's happening, How can I change it? But I know that you're very quick. You had a very quick reaction. You had a great hands, wonderful hands. You could have controlled the ball. And it's something maybe people don't understand. That we play a lot of juniors or a lot in the club. We play doubles. So we learn to use our hands a lot, and it's a social thing. This is very social. More in the area where we live, it's very difficult sometimes. They use one thing, you have to win. And it's not that easy just to have one thing. It's more than winning. To me, it's a develop ways to make it happen. Do you play doubles in the club when you were a junior? Or you just go and play whatever? Tell me.
I played a lot of doubles in my club in Mexico, like a lot. I think I didn't used to go because I was too little and stuff like that. But then one of the people that used to go play, usually they get together some days to play a lot of doubles. They told me, oh, you should come on the Sundays. I think that will be very good for you. It's going to be doubles, of course, but I think that's going to be very good for you. And I played a lot of doubles. And I think that helped me a lot because at the beginning I was doing well, having fun, but then like I wanted to win. So I started playing harder and harder. And now every match I was winning, just having a lot of confidence and working on my game. It was just not like to go out and play. I think that helped me a lot to get more of my confidence and that winning mindset. And then a lot of those little skills that you talk about, like the hands, that is very important.
You know, I another thing, notes I have about you, when I met you, when you were a little kid, you were serving like a righty, not like a lefty. Like I don't know how. People don't understand, if you are lefty, it's a different way of serve, like a lefty. It's a lefty serve. But you were serving like a righty. That means you were coming from the left side to the right side of the ball, and you were trying to hit like someone was telling you, hit like you were righty. No, you are lefty. And I see your lefty serve today's day has improved tremendously. But I'm going to tell you, I was just looking at Echeverry. My God, sometimes Echeverry serve 75, 80 miles. No, 75 kilometers, 80 kilometers. It's like, what? Wow. And I was watching him and I said, wow, with that high, you should be able to serve harder. I go back now to you. I hope so. I know in the summer you're going to come to train with us. I'm going to make sure you serve, get better. If you serve, improve even 10 to 15 miles more, you will be better, and it will be wonderful to people understand how important is the serve. Now we go back to college. How the college players serve? Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Oof, there's a lot of variety in that category. I think that serve has become like a crazy weapon in college because we played doubles and then singles. And for doubles, it's very crucial. If you have a good serve, it's very difficult to get broken. So a lot of people work on their serve. And for myself, I play with another lefty in doubles.
Okay.
So what we do a lot is a lot of change of spin. And everybody gets frustrated with our type of spin because it's a little bit like guessing because we change it all the time. And sometimes we go, okay, we're going to hit faster here. It's a lot of strategy there. It's very strategic, the service in college, I think. And I think it's my speed when I came was like, it was not good. I think I had a good serve. I think I had a good serve, but everybody was returning like easy. It was like, okay, what am I doing? And I was like, okay, I need to start practicing my serve more. And I started using more my legs, I think. I think my legs were something that I was missing a lot on my serve. And by using that, now I rarely get broken singles doubles. Mm-hmm. It's not that tough. And working with the spins, I think that working very strategically to you know your opponent, oh, he's a righty, okay, I'm gonna do slice wide to his backhand, or maybe more of a kick serve, but the spin is different, so kick serve for me, it bounces on the other side, so they're not expecting that. So I think it's very strategic over here.
You mentioned using your legs. How did you start unloading to put it together in practice? Because it's not just happening one day or in one word. The coach can tell you bend your knees or unload your body, but there's more than that. It's the rotation of the hip to the side. In your case, I remember you go a little bit open wide stance, and then you putting your feet together to make a jump. But you start turning your hips a little bit more. How do you understand how to unload better to create more of that power? How and how many days do you practice or hours? What else did you were doing in that in the surf?
I think I started off by taking videos of myself surfing, and I started analyzing what I was doing, and also with the help of my teammates and coach over here in college, I was asking like, "Oh, what do you think?" Of course, everybody had different opinions, but one of the ones that came the most was that I was jumping more I was jumping high, but I was not jumping in front. Good. I think that jumping in front and like bending my knees and jumping in front is what gives me a little bit more power to my surf. And I was like, okay, I'll start trying this. And I think my surface motion started getting the hang of it, and my legs started going in front instead of going high. It was going high but in front. And I think that made my surf like much, much faster than it was before.
Very good. What are you doing with your rubber bands? Are you using your rubber bands? You're using weights? What else are you doing to develop just the surf? We're talking about the surf. What is the exercise you're using every day, every other day, besides hitting, to improve outside? What kind of exercise are you using?
It's a lot of explosiveness. Explosive exercises have been helping me a lot. We do that a lot in the gym. We have boxes that we have to jump to, and every time we put them higher. But sometimes before we jump to the box, we have like little hoops that we need to jump over them. So we're jumping forward. We're doing the surface motion, but jumping forward. And then we're using more explosiveness on the box. And for this, it's not only just with our body. Of course, we're using weights and stuff like that, because we need to feel comfortable on the court. So for that, we need to feel uncomfortable when we're doing in the gym. And also, I think one key is balancing a lot. And we also have one of those weights, but with water. So the water moves, of course.
Moves, yes.
So you have to control it, and you have to keep balance while jumping. And we use that a lot. We jump forward. And when we jump forward, we need to stay in balance the whole time. And I think those type of exercises, like explosive exercises, have helped me a lot.
So think about this. You are 20 years old now, correct?
Yes.
You came to the academy 10 years ago. And this summer, you already were doing lots of jumping, lots of running. You were using rubber bands, and they were maybe the most painful 3 weeks of your time when you were in Silicon Valley. You were training with intensity, because this is part of the summer training to develop, and it's the whole year. But you were start already from youth age to be stronger. And I do remember, when I used to tell you, you need to have more explosion from little jump player. Later in your career, you changed a little bit your forehand and you became bigger, stronger, and I think you're very strong now, but it's still not enough. Just I go back again. This is what I like to watch in these tournaments and look at the top professional players train. And they're training in the court 2 hours to 3 hours. Just basic training, volley, forehand, adjusting grand strokes. But they are in the gym another 3 hours. How do you even think about beyond the gym another 3 hours, making sure the players improve? That's something I in the summer, I love to see you working with me doing a lot of conditioning. I know conditioning is one of the biggest pieces of the game. And when the players learn to conditioning from youth age, it's very important. So in the age of 16, you became one of the top players. What do you improve? Your speed, what else? Your mental toughness, because this is something I like to see you improve. I go back Sunday, we were talking about you. We were talking, Javi and I and Coach Carlos, we were talking about how to improve your mental toughness. And there's a different ways to improve mental toughness. One of the ways to improve your mental toughness, I think you have the support of your parents, but you believe in yourself. And if you believe in yourself, many things could happen. Number two, when you play matches, I think you should play not just to win. If not, you have to play to improve, to make yourself even better and aggressive in the toughest points. I know we play sometimes the point is 30-0, and you say, oh, I'm going to play safe. Maybe you don't play safe. Maybe you play consistent, but you develop to be more aggressive. Aggressiveness, we go back how? Movement. If you start running, you're taking the ball earlier, but hitting the ball not a winner, hitting the ball with more pace, that will help you. Well, how do you think it became to be your improvement from youth age to the age of 18? How do you want to improve mentally? Give me some tips for younger players how to do improvement mentally. Sometimes people don't understand that you will lose in the game. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think that I remember one of the back when I was 15, 16, one coach asked me like, oh, what are you expecting to do with the serve or with the second serve? And I said, I just need to make it in. And I think he got mad at me because I think that was such a bad answer, because he made me realize that I'm not playing to lose. I was playing with fear of losing, and that is one of the things you need to realize, that if you're playing, you want to win, or you just don't want to lose. Because if you play with the fear of losing, I think everything, you're playing safe and you're not playing your own game. And tennis, you need to play your game. You practice for a reason. You have that confidence in your game. You go out and win a lot of matches because of that, not because of, oh, I'm just here to put the ball in, and I like, okay, I want to win, but I'm scared of losing. And I think that made me realize that I have good tennis, I have good shots, I have good strokes, and I just need to be confident in what I'm doing. I think tennis is one of the most mental sports that there is. You're alone in the court. I mean, you have your team and your family outside watching you, but you are on the court. You need to make the decisions. So I think having confidence in your shots and your next decision, just go through your decisions. Don't think like, oh, I'll hit cross court forehand here. No, I should go forehand drop shot. I don't know. I think if you make a decision, take the decision with character and go forward with it.
You will see one of our younger players, just reviewing the matches this week. He's playing tapping the ball. And I'm reviewing the video and I said, like, she practiced, she hit the ball hard, she hit heavy. We go back again. She's only 9 years old, playing under 12. You will see her this summer training with us. In the time you are in the academy, I know you're going to Europe. And I was thinking, she's playing to win. She's not playing to develop. And it's exactly what I want people to understand. In the youth age, you play to develop, and that's why I brought you to the show. You play to develop. The first goal, it was to play college. That was the first goal. It was not to play in the age of 16, play pro. I will never remember that piece. I remember always we talk, play college, get opportunity college. To, you know, play college, play, you playing in a good school. That was the first goal. And the second goal, it could be go play pro like you want it and try the pro tour for 2-3 years and let's see what happened. With all my respect, you're a very intelligent kid. I don't want to say the other ones they're not, but you're a very intelligent kid, you know, and I know what you want. So people need to learn to develop. You now, what are you going to develop? What is your next potential develop? And that'd be good for parents to know what it will be good.
I think the next step to develop, it's, I've seen a lot of pro players, a lot of pro tournaments, and I've seen my college teammates and when we play other people. And I mean, there's not a lot of difference in tennis. I think tennis is pretty similar. Of course, they're going to be a little bit better, more consistent probably, but I think it all comes down to mental toughness. I think that the players are pros right now are very in Spanish we would say like cold in their heads, like they don't show that many emotions. They're like focused on their game. Of course, you have players like Rublev that goes crazy sometimes, but everybody has different styles to get over the a little hump you have. But I do see that it's mental difference. The mental difference is that they are focused on their game. They're not focused on what is outside and on what is the opponent now doing. Like they're focused on playing their game, and I think that's one part that I struggle still a little bit with. Sometimes I'm thinking of other stuff and I'm not focusing on my game, and then I start losing it sometimes, and it's I need to have that focus. I think that's the main thing.
When you say you start looking around, you know, concentrate in what's happening, what it comes to your mind?
I think that in a certain point of the match, when maybe you lost a few points in a row, it always happens. You lost like 4 or 5 points in a row. You start looking for someone to like... Sometimes you look at your family or your friend, like, what am I doing, to see if they could help. But I think that that's something that I have to stop sometimes, because I'm the one in the court. I'm the one making the decisions. And I think that a lot of us do that stuff. You know, we're look around for someone to help us. But I think that we will always lose points. We will always lose maybe 3 points in a row, 4 points in a row, and even more. But we need to realize that we are the ones that need to get over the hump, and we can get over the hump if we start, if we keep focusing on the match. Sometimes the other player might do really good shots, really good points, and I mean, sometimes there's nothing you can do. But
thank you. You just finally say that the other player is in control of what could be happened to your game.
Exactly.
And the first thing, the tennis players, junior players, even college players, they start looking for answers. Mm-hmm. And their answer is to play the next ball like it will be the last ball of the match.
Yeah.
I just exactly. give you the answer. There's something you can be thinking about it. But they go more into that, like what you say. Are you continue moving? Are you reacting more you late? It could be you getting late in your grand stroke. The yeah. other player is attacking you because you are not changing the pace to look for his weaker shots or follow the pattern. For example, we start with the serve. Right away you say, I serve wide. I'm already know the player could be hit short ball. I will attack it down the line. I will hit across. Depending of the player, of your opponent, is depending of your grand strokes.
Yeah.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
But there's something you could put it together when you play. You have to make sure you're able to do all this analysis right away on the court to step in and do changing on the pace. Right now, quarterfinals, Tsitsipas match, an amazing quarterfinals match, amazing. Lose the first set, win the second set, very close. And I'm looking this, I'm seeing what's happening. Third set, he took the lead 4-3. The other player take the lead 5-4. The other player has 30-15, double fault twice. Why?
Wow.
He starts thinking about the match. He starts thinking about, I beat him. No, it's over. In that moment, Tsitsipas came back off. I have never seen a tiebreaker where the player has four double faults. And we go back again. It is mental strain.
Yeah.
You know, this is something very, very crazy. What happened? Hello.
Yeah. Hello. I'm here.
Hello.
Yeah.
You got frozen, please. Hello.
Yeah, I hear you.
I think I'm frozen.
Did you dream of hitting aces and dominating the court? Silicon Valley Tennis Academy is your one-stop shop for becoming a tennis champion. We offer expert coaching, world-class facilities, and a supportive community to help you reach your full potential. Whether you're a beginner or a seasoned player, we have programs designed to fit your skill level and goals. Learn from experienced coaches who are passionate about the game and dedicated to your success. Join our growing team of talented players and see how Silicon Valley Tennis Academy can take your game to the next level. visit our website at www.siliconvalleytennis.com to learn more and enroll today. Don't miss your chance to be a part of something special.
Well, we are back, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. We are back. I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. So like I was saying, watching all these things, it really give me more tools for this coming summer and for every year to put these things together. So how do you will help in the academy to train players? You will be one of the coaches for the summer, working with middle level players. What do you will be doing first? What would be the first thing you will introduce them more? Many of these players, they respect you and they listen to you very well. What do you recommend to them already for now?
I think that one of the aspects that I will try to work on with the most with them will definitely be combining that conditioning part with tennis, not only tennis. I think that around the ages of 10 to 14, I think they need to start realizing that is not only tennis. I mean, of course, they have to have fun, and they will have fun, of course. But if they really want to start playing tennis at a good level at their age group, it doesn't matter what age group they are in. I think that learning more the conditioning part of it, it's very crucial. And I think another part that I've been working on when I go to the summers there and coach some kids, I think watching tennis is a very important part, like watching pro tennis, ATP level. Because I've asked a lot of kids, like, oh, what do you think of this guy? How's he doing in the tournament? And a lot of them tell me, oh, I don't even know him. I don't know who you're talking about. I don't watch tennis. I'm like, oh, you're playing tennis, but you don't watch tennis. And I think that was one thing that helped me a lot when I was a kid. I mean, my passion for tennis is very big. So I used to watch every single tournament. But I think that helped me a lot to analyze more of the game, to see how other players are doing. And I think that, and you can see that in certain situations, those top players come up big and play their own game. And I think that if younger players start watching that, I think that will help them a lot also.
You know, I was just thinking right now talking to you, and correct me, I may be wrong. You used to practice and play with a player used to be the doubles partner of Alcaraz in Silicon Valley. Mm-hmm. What was his name?
Neil Giraldez.
And he was a top national ranking and top player, but you used to beat him. Or he always beat you. I don't know. Just remind me.
We honestly didn't play like a set or stuff like that. We used to play some points here and there, and it will always be like extremely close in those points that we used to play. I think it was, I knew that he was a very good player. Well, I mean, we're playing for a good Division One, and being their top player in the Division One actually, like I knew he was a good player, but I was like, oh, I want to win this. I want to win every point I play against him. So we used to play like really good points, and we used to play long points. And I think that he's very, very strategic. I think when I played him, he was very strategic, but it was really good.
When you say strategic, what exactly that means? I don't know if people know that you need some strategy in this game. What it really means?
I think, for example, I'm a lefty, so of course he understood that his backhand goes to my forehand. for me, I'm very comfortable with my forehand. I know I can be there all day. I can change pace. I can change sides. I can do everything with my forehand. And I think he started realizing that. So he started pushing me back and then going more toward my backhand. By far, I noticed it on the first few points. I was like, okay, I know what this guy is doing. So I needed to come up with a strategy to try to combat that and to come out stronger in the points. And my strategy, I remember I was doing some inside in to his backhand, and then I knew he was gonna go to try to go high deep, and I started to pressure him more, and when I put more pressure, he started a little bit thinking more about his decisions. So I think that like strategies can change during the game, but you need to realize that the other player is most likely having a strategy against you, so you need to try to combat that.
How old are you when you were realized the strategy? You were what, 12, 11, 18? Because sometimes young players in the age of 12, maybe they just think, I have to hit class core, and they try to win the point right away. How old are you when you start learning all these things that you're talking about?
I think strategic wise, I would say around the age of 12 to 14, around that age. Like, mm-hmm. I remember, I mean, honestly, like one of the key points was when you told me, oh, you're not serving like a lefty. You need to start serving like a lefty. I think that made me realize that, okay, there's different types of games, there's different types of strategies and stuff like that. So I was thinking like, I need to use my lefty advantage, because if I have it, I mean, I need to use it. Yes. And I think that was a point when I started realizing more about strategies, when you told me about, like, you made me realize I'm a lefty, practically.
Yeah, you were playing like a righty. You were playing like a righty. I will never forget that forehand. I go back again. I already say that. Took. You used to keep the elbow inside, rubbing your shoulders, and then say, what are you doing? Just, you know, and let's go back. We're talking 9 years later. I improved like a coach with you, making sure you're using more your body. You have a wider shoulders, bigger arms, which I think, and I'm telling you right now, you need to go back to the way left. You need to get bigger, not only rubber bands. And you need to be wider in like a V to making sure you have more power in your upper body, you know? Yeah. And let's keep the hips or the waist, keep it smaller, you know, don't make it bigger, keep it smaller so you can have a good rotation and work a lot in the legs. I'm going to make sure, I was talking to Carlos before you go there, you're going to be running some hills. I don't know if you ever went with us to the hills. You're going to be running in the hills, doing quick sprints, develop more you thighs of your legs, and you will take a couple players with you, like Kyle. Kyle will be one of the players. Mm-hmm. It will be with you. Daniel, it will be another one. Kento, Cameron, they have improved tremendously, these players. But yeah, my goal for them, already I can tell you, I don't know how many weeks you will be with us, but my goal for them this summer, I want to make sure they finish have UTR 7, 7, 5, or 8. That's my goal for them, of kids of 14 years old, very good UTR. Kyle is a very good player. He's only 13. Elan will go back to Spain, so he will continue to develop over there. But you will have a very good group of kids for you to train and help me to develop these players, you know. So, but you have to go back to the weights. You need to do a lots of weights to get bigger and stronger. That will be so important. I hope so you can communicate to the players – the importance of fitness. And you know, and I know you're very good with parents to communicate to parents what the player need to develop many times. And I need younger players like you to communicate to parents. It's not just about winning one tournament or winning the first round. Let's look Tsitsipas. Tsitsipas has won only one 100,000 or ATP, never won 500. I think he won few of them in a very big, long time. Root is the first one he win of 500. His first tournament. And he's top three in the world. And he's top three. It's crazy. And you say, what? Yeah, you top three in the world and you never won really a big tournament. Your first ATP 500, you won a lot of 100, but never 500. There's a different category for players and for parents to understand. So many times I think parents say, you need to win every single tournament. It's almost impossible. Mindset, the mindset is not there. So what is next for you in your college? You will become to be a junior, correct? You sophomore this year, you will be a junior?
I will be a senior, actually. I'm a junior right now.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And what's going to happen? You finish your college career in 1 year. What is going to be your major?
Yeah, my major is software engineering
right okay.
now. So, I mean, it's 4 years passing by quickly. I think that I've always thought after college, I want to give myself the opportunity to try to go pro. I don't wanna just like finish college. Oh, that was my goal. I have my degree. I mean, that's a good goal, but for me, I've always thought of giving myself the opportunity going for more with the sport, not just academically. But now that I have both academic and sport, that's very good. I think I have something to rely on. Uh-huh. Like that's why we went the college route. That's why you always told me, my parents always told me, like I have something on my back that can help me every time. So and I think that right after college, I will give myself some years to try to go pro. I will give my 110% for it, because it's something that I've always wanted. It's always been my dream, and the passion I have for tennis is like no other, I think. And I know it takes a lot, but I'm willing to do that for sure.
Let me, you know, just looking at right now the doubles. Many of the doubles players, they never make it top level in ATP. They were top 300, 400, 500, but they never in the top 50.
Yeah.
And I was looking at many of them. They became to be good in doubles in the age of 28, 29, 30. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I was just looking at it and saying, my God, many of the older players, I'm talking older, 28, 35, 40. The number one player in the world right now in doubles is 42 years old.
Yes.
As he say, I've been improving tremendously. So, but they always been there playing tournaments, competing, you know, and working maybe in your case. I don't know if you have one more year left for play college or you have two more years.
I have one more year.
One more year. Okay. So, you know, sometimes maybe you can do your master's maybe in your school where you are, you do your master's and you help the team, and that will pay you master's education. But you can start playing some professional tournaments, continue doing your master. That could be a very good solution. And I go back more because you mature wise in tennis is very low yet. It will get better. You're a very competitive guy. You like to compete. And I know everyone wants to win, but you learn this way. Not everything is winning, winning, winning. It's a develop. This is something very good. You have improved and keep it up. I think you, I have to say, you were going to make it. You're going to make it. I go back. You need to have your mental toughness. You need to believe in yourself like you always do. And this is, I think, one of the almost ending topics. How about your parents with you? Did your parents regret to you when you lose? Your parents that were mean? Did your parents make you feel bad because you get beat? And you didn't just play in one area. You play all over of Mexico, traveling to the United States. How about your parents?
Yeah, I think my parents were extremely supportive, like every time, even like the times that I lost, it was always a learning experience. My parents always told me, like, you need to learn from this, it's to develop, because I think that if you lose, I wasn't the one that I like to lose, but of course, you're always going to have those moments. And my parents were always there to tell me that it doesn't matter. Like, next time you'll be better because you're learning from this. And they helped me develop even more my game, because every time they were watching my games, my mom, my dad, either one of them, they're always like, oh, you know, this happened in this match. What do you think? And I was, oh, yeah. And that was one of the main points that I was struggling with. They're like, okay, we're gonna work on it. We're gonna definitely work on this. And my parents were always extremely supportive with all of that, all of those juniors matches and in college right now. I mean, they don't watch me in college, but they're still asking me how it went, how am I doing, and they're always there. And I think that parents being there to help you with that type of stuff is one very important aspect of the game.
Yes. You have the most, I think, the majority of the top players, the parents could be strong, but they're very supportive. And did you have this kind of the communication with your parents? You know, did you have done your schedule for tournaments for the summer, or you haven't done it yet?
I've been making a scratch, not yet like fully on, oh, this is the tournament I'm going, this is the tournament I'm going, but I do have an idea of which tournaments I'm going to play.
Okay, good. So, Martin, what would be the most important piece in the next 6 months in your career like a tennis player? Academically, I know you are a 4.0 student. I want to make sure, are you a 4.0 student?
Of course.
Of course, I know you are a 4.0 student, and I know you work very hard in academically, you know, but what is your next 6 months in your career like a tennis player? And if you think about it, 6 months is almost the end of the year. We're talking 2024. And you will jump in to your last year of college. Then I believe you want to be number one in your college. And I know you want to play nationals. What is your plan for the next 6 months? And how do you want to accomplish?
Yeah, so for the next 6 months, I think that I will definitely practice a lot for the first few months. And then I will play lots of tournaments during the summer. I think that is one of the most important aspects I will do during the summer. It's a lot of tournaments, ITFs. I think that's gonna give me a lot of confidence in my game. And in college, and during the fall season is when we have the ITA tournaments and stuff like that. Those take you to nationals. So I think I like my goal has always been to do very good at the in that tournament, and that's my main focus. And that's why I'm doing the tournaments from ITS and stuff like that, and then translating it to my college and doing really well in those tournaments that we have during the fall season, and that will make my ranking go higher and my confidence make it go higher.
Confidence. I think this is the main thing of the game. Get confidence of your own game. You know, and so many players. We have one player in Barcelona has lost from the beginning of the year. From the beginning of the year into now, he has lost every single first round match. He never passed a round. In Barcelona, he passed two rounds, and he said, finally, I did it. And you say, what? You're talking a top player, top 80 in the world, say, I have lost every single round from beginning Australia to now. Yeah. And I haven't won a match. And he's continued training. So you live into Spain, that you know the tournament you're going to be playing in Spain? Do you already know?
I'm thinking of going to Monastir again, the ITF.
Okay.
And play, I mean, of course, qualifying of the tournament. I think that's a tournament that gives me more opportunity to get in, because ITFs, it's really tough to get in if you don't have ranking and stuff like that. But I think with that tournament, I can get in and make a statement, I think.
Good. And you're going to Portugal?
Most likely.
Okay. You have a couple friends. They are Spanish. I think you have a guy from Madrid that they're going to be playing tournament with you. Are you taking the balls? How are you going to transport it? Do you have any plans for that one?
Well, I've been talking with my friends. It's still not like settled, but I think that we all are thinking of doing tennis trips for tournaments, and I think that it will most likely happen. All of that.
Very good, Martin. It has been a pleasure to have you on the show today for parents to learn what a junior player to a college player. And I hope so 3 years from now, we're talking to a player in the top, at least 160 in the world, you know, ATP. I believe me, you have the potential, you have the feet, you have the power, you have the body. And I know you're very committed to the game. So the most important, just believe in you. Believe it's going to happen. And do not let nobody to stop you, you know. This is one of the most beautiful things of the game. And make sure you be the best. And make yourself, you are the best. And to me, you are one of the best kids in the whole career. Okay, Martin? Let's keep it up.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for today. Join us this summer at the Silicon Valley Tennis Academy summer program. Martin will be there. He will be one of the assistant coaches working with a couple of the younger players. And we will have different developments, and I think it's great. You could see what kind of staff the academy has to make sure we develop players. Okay? Thank you, Martin, and I will see you on the court. When is your last day of school?
I believe the third, May 3rd.
Oh, okay. So already this
pretty soon.
This Thursday. The 5th is Sunday. Friday.
Pretty soon.
Friday. Are you going to be in the Bay Area already this weekend?
Not this weekend, but I will let you know exactly
when. All right. Let me know. Let me know so we can start organizing ideas what to do, and you can help me with a couple players. Okay? Yeah,
perfect.
All right. Thank you, Martin. Thank you.
Thank you.
See you again. See you. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
From youth age, it's my passion of the game, and I want to play in that time when I was a kid and I grew up. I do love to coach, and I think I like to promote the sport. And I always have a good vision to see how can we grow better players, how can we have top level players.
Did you dream of hitting aces and dominating the court? Silicon Valley Tennis Academy is your one-stop shop for becoming a tennis champion. We offer expert coaching, world-class facilities, and a supportive community to help you reach your full potential. Whether you're a beginner or a seasoned player, we have programs designed to fit your skill level and goals. Learn from experienced coaches who are passionate about the game and dedicated to your success. Join our growing team of talented players and see how Silicon Valley Tennis Academy can take your game to the next level. Visit our website at www.siliconvalleytennis.com to learn more and enroll today. Don't miss your chance to be a part of something special.